These last few weeks, we've been considering what it is to be Christians, what it is to be called in Christ as community sent to the world, what we as men and women and children at Titirangi Baptist Church are called to do as we love and trust the Lord Jesus as he sends us to this world. Today, we are considering the word that God has given to us to share. Remember last week we spent some time thinking about repentance. We've all been trying to get total eclipse of the heart out of our heads the whole week. Some of us have succeeded more than others, and I apologize to the office because I've been singing it far too much. Just singing in the office is a crime. Me singing total eclipse of the heart doesn't help anyone. But you remember last week we talked about how repentance is this generous invitation from the Lord Jesus. What it is to be salt and light in the world, shining as stars in the darkness, bringing purity to a world so that they might know God's grace and power. We've thought about what it is to cry out to God for our daily needs and to deliver us from evil. And here we are this morning thinking about the kingdom of God being near. The kingdom of God is at hand. But what a question lies in our hearts this morning, is it? Is the kingdom of God near? Evil has faced us as a nation, gunned down men and women who are our own, part of our own community, as they met in worship, similar to us today. Imagine a gunman walking in just now. We pray wholeheartedly, deliver us from evil of every kind. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray for those who are directly grieved, facing living with the loss of a loved one through violent intervention of wickedness. We pray for those who will be dealing with injuries in the short and the long term, those who will be permanently disabled, who will lose limbs, those who will face a lifetime of reminders of this time. The very last words of the sermon last week are these: we have fallen apart. We need a fresh start. Turn around. As a nation, we have been wounded by terrorism on Friday, and we need a fresh start. But is it possible? Is the kingdom of God close at hand? And how? I grew up with terrorism all around me. It was a normal part of life. Growing up in the 70s and the 80s in Liverpool, the Irish Army, so they called themselves, the Irish Republican Army, and the Provisional Ulster Unionists were involved in a war of terror across the British Isles, particularly often focused in and around Liverpool. I have many memories of being shopping with my mum and having to evacuate stores for bomb scares. At each of my siblings' weddings, there were on that day, on those days of my siblings' weddings, there were significant terrorist actions. Warrington and Manchester. I remember the bombs in Enniskillen. Terrorism was a normal part of my growing up. It is great to be in a world which has felt a long way away from terrorism. And we've kind of rested in our laurels and in the blessedness of New Zealand. One of the things that has struck me in these last couple of days as I've thought about what do we say together this morning is that Jesus lived in turbulent times. Terrorism was not unfamiliar to his own lifetime. Political unrest, ethnic tensions, acts of terrorism, of violence. The roads along which they traveled often lined with crucified bodies, civic rebellion, military occupation. Everything about the society in which Jesus lived, breathed, walked, and ate was under great threat, tension everywhere. Pontius Pilate himself lined the road from Jerusalem to Damascus, a great length of Rhodes with the bodies of Pharisees crucified for their part in a revolt. Jesus did not live in a fairy land a long time ago in a place far, far away. And it is into this world that Jesus walked after his baptism and temptation in the desert with this message. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It landed on their lives and their ears no less strangely than it does for us today in the light of Friday's terrorism and in the light of global politics. It is a startling and surprising thing to say. But some of those around him had been waiting for someone to say precisely that. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God. 1,000 years before Jesus, many of us will remember there were two kings. The first king of Israel, Saul, and then King David. Saul had begun well, but he ended badly, rejecting God and being rejected by God. He was a man of power and of murder, using fear and terror to control. He rejected God's way, God's will, God's character, God's plan, and so God rejected him and chose a boy, the most unlikely of kings, a shepherd stuck on a hill, a kid who would grow to be a man who, through suffering and alienation, but through being an outcast, would learn what it would be to shepherd God's people as king and rule Israel. He'd make mistakes. Oh, he made mistakes. He chose wrong and did wrong, and in that God confronted him. And in being confronted, he turned around and believed in a kingdom bigger than himself. The people of Jesus' day were waiting, they thought, for another king like David. Someone who would come and turn over the political powers through war, through casting out the Romans, through setting things right. They thought they were waiting for a political and social revolution. They were looking for a new kingdom, for God's kingdom, a new order, a new king. So as Jesus walks out of the desert, saying the kingdom of God is near, the time is fulfilled, you could feel their hearts rising. This weekend, we've been confronted by the results of those who want a new order, a new kingdom, a new social construct. Established not just here in New Zealand, but anywhere and everywhere around the world. White supremacists this time, but nationalists somewhere else, religious extremists in other places. The details of their manifestos differ, but their aim is the same. Terrorists think that through fear and intimidation, through bombings, through murder, through guns, through tension and harm, they can bring about social overthrow. But terrorism is a defeated enemy. We will still face terrorists. We will face guns and bombs, and we will face uncertain times and great upset. We will face anger in ourselves and grief over the world. But terrorism, war, violence is a defeated enemy. You can only hold people in fear for so long, as every despot who's ever ruled has discovered. You can imprison people with violence, but not forever. People will bow before a tyrant, but there will be a limitation to the rule of that tyrant. In our hearts, we long for something that Jesus has come to proclaim. You and I, we know that there must be more. Under every bad boss you've ever had, you've longed for a better rule. In every tense and difficult situation that you have lived, you have longed for peace and harmony to come. And that hope, that desire is met in Jesus. Because he comes as the king. He is the king. The one who walks onto the scene proclaiming that the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom is at hand, is the king himself. The king that God had promised, but not the one people expected or even wanted. Jesus comes to heal broken lives and to provide a way for all people to know God, to deal with the heart of the matter in a way that changes the human heart. Jesus comes and declares to all who have ears who will listen, young and old, rich and poor, male and female, Jew and Gentile, that there is a place for them in the king's family. He is the one who gathers in men and women of every skin color and background. He makes it obvious in those who he gathers around him. Mary, called Magdala, who had been possessed by seven demons, sat with tax collectors. Matthew, one of them, called to be one of his closest. Fishermen, that dodgy lot. And there are a few fishermen in the room. We know how dodgy they truly are with their exaggerations and their understatements. People like us. People like us. To deal with the very heart of the matter. Breaking down social barriers. Sitting with the woman at the well in Samaria. Will you give me a drink? She says, but sir, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How can you even ask me for a drink? Jesus breaks down every barrier as the king in the kingdom. He comes to give us what we need most. Jesus, who is like us in every way, but without sin, understands our frailty. He has lived our lives from the inside out. He knows our grief, our fear, our mourning, sorrow, anxieties, temptations. He knows the racial tensions that exist. He knows the barriers of suspicion that live within our hearts. He has felt it all and been on the receiving end of it all. Jesus comes, as we thought about the other week, to deliver us from and destroy every bit of evil. Not by wars, not by great armies sweeping across the face of the earth. Jesus comes as king, not tyrant. As loving Lord, not demanding ruler. He destroys evil in his own death. He goes to the cross for our sake, on our behalf. For you, he dies your death. For me, he rises. For us together, we are made in his image, remade by his power. He offers eternal life to everyone and promises a coming renewal of all things, where injustice will be righted, where wrongs will be undone. And the things that we have left undone, the right things that we should have done and said, will be corrected. Justice and truth will reign because Jesus is the king in the kingdom. He's the king in the kingdom who is God himself. He is the king who is God. Jesus comes and reveals God himself as God himself. Unlike David before him, a great, 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 let's not do the greats, grandfather of Jesus. But God himself in human flesh. We need Jesus. Don't know if you feel it this morning, I do. We need Jesus today. Not because our country is broken, because we are broken at much deeper levels than we can fully comprehend. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus as the one who will not snuff out a smoldering wick, nor will he be careless enough to break off a bruised reed. Two images of how God himself deals with our frailty in the Lord Jesus, the King of the kingdom. A king who will confront evil and defeat it without breaking us in a way that cannot be repaired. And isn't that our worry at times? That when we bring our hearts before him, when we bring our sense of vulnerability, that somehow Jesus will break us in a way that can't be fixed. It's what stops us turning away from sin, isn't it? It's what makes us hold on to the stuff that we cling to, isn't it? That somehow we feel that Jesus will do us more harm than good. But he is the good that must be done to us so that we might know what good truly is. A number of times over these last few days, I've heard people on news and in reports and read articles and seen on our Facebook streams that we're saying things like, this is not New Zealand. This is not us. And in so many ways, that's right, but it is us. Casual racism lives in our conversations, lives in our hearts and in our homes. Suspicion of Muslims because they are Muslim. For 5 years, Enos and I lived in a Muslim majority area in the UK. As we moved into our home there in the heart of Leicester, Christian friend said to us, you can't live down a coal mine without getting dirty. Funny, but tragic and deeply offensive to the Lord Jesus. We fear immigration. New Zealand isn't what it once was, people tell me. I go, yeah, before the Europeans came, it was completely different, wasn't it? And people say, no, that's not what I mean. And I said, yeah, I know. We have antagonism towards those whose skin color is different from our own, whose accents are not our own, who do family differently from us, and who come from nations we judge as less than ours. It is a daily reality. This is not us, we say, and excuse ourselves. Brothers and sisters, this is us. We may not carry guns into mosques, and we would not, and that's not what I'm saying. But sin is in our hearts. It lives within our language and the ways in which we construct our lives. Racism is a problem in New Zealand. Listen to Māori and Polynesian, to Indian and African here in our nation. They have stories from day-to-day life where they are treated as lesser in our world. It grieves me even to say this, but to listen, and you'll hear of them tell stories of here among us as God's people in this church, where they've been excluded and downgraded, where we have killed with words and with attitudes that are unbecoming of Christians. We have judged one another and kept distance from one another. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything we must do in the face of Friday, we must confront the racism in our hearts. Today, as we think, and each day as we think of the God who revealed himself in Middle Eastern flesh, who confronted men and women like us, we must confront not just white supremacy and the evil that is done in our nation, in the community of Christchurch, in the violence that has been done to our Muslim neighbors and friends and colleagues. We must confront racism that sits in our hearts and our lives and even in our church. The passage we read from Joel last week, do you remember it? In describing this process of turning around, says, rend your heart and not your garments. Don't let it be an outward thing. Don't just change your Facebook profile picture with a banner. Don't simply write in books of condolence. Do those things. But don't let it stop there. Rend your hearts. Let us rend our hearts. Where we have found and where we find racist attitudes within, let's bring them to Jesus. Lay them at his feet, our Middle Eastern Jewish Savior. And ask for his healing and his change. Because God is near. Not far off and not distant, not judging, not looking to snuff out the smoldering wick or to break off the bruised reed, but come near to us because he knows us and because he loves us. He is near, one of those titles that is so precious to us who know and love Jesus from the Old Testament. God with us. Where was Jesus on Friday? Standing in that mosque as that man who thought he was doing God's will took those lives. Where is he today? He is standing near the Muslim community and calling us there alongside them to love them and stand with them. Despite our fears, despite our questions, despite all of those things, he is with our neighbors in this world, calling us to himself to come, sending us in his name to stand with those alongside him. Friday afternoon, I did two things. Excuse me. I left a phone message on the local mosque answer phone, offering our support in any way. And I'm trying to make contact again this week. The mosque has obviously been closed this weekend. And I contacted the family who live next to us in Leicester to offer love and support and say, this man wants to bring barriers between us. I think I've spoken of them before. They loved us like their own. Miss them dearly. God is near with us. He is the King in Jesus who would go to the cross to defeat evil itself. This is the message of hope we have in this nation as we mourn. It is the message of hope that we bring to a hopeless world. A friend of mine, Max Stiles, the morning after he'd been preparing with his family for months to go and live in the Middle East. And 9/11 happened, and the next morning he went onto his front lawn and knocked in the for sale sign on their house. We are going to the Middle East. The response of God's people in the face of evil is not military, it is missionary. We go in Christ's name with the message of the Lord Jesus, the message of reconciliation and of love. When wrong is done, we go to do right. When evil is spoken, we go with words that heal and bring relationship and call people like us to life in Jesus' name. When there is fear, we embrace it and we go there anyway. Where is Jesus? He is the King of the kingdom. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is near. He is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in him. He is even close to that man who smirked in court yesterday as he stood accused of the 49 murders. who will go and speak peace and love and hope to him? Who will go? He is close to our Prime Minister and our government as they seek to lead through this time. God is near. Who will go into government? Who will go into politics? Who will go and stand in that place and serve the Lord Jesus? Who will go? Who will go to the ends of the earth, into Muslim communities that do not yet know of Jesus, to those places and people who have never heard his name? Who will go? Who will go in response to evil like the king himself and say, the time has come. God's kingdom is close. Turn and believe the good news.